word for our consideration this morning. God's word for our nourishment, our strength, our guidance, our direction for our kingdom lives. It's from the gospel lesson, but concentrating on this one verse. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amazing words from the gospel according to St. John. Now, this seems kind of odd, and in an odd place, especially the sixth Sunday of Easter. Easter's happened already, but these words from Jesus are in the upper room with his disciples on the night he was betrayed. And Jesus wanted his disciples to think about their lives. I want you to think about your life as well. As you live in this world as a child of God, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ, as you walk on this earth, as you envision what your life will be tomorrow, next week, next year, I want you to think about that life. And I want you to think about the world that you're living in. What's becoming of this world? What's becoming of it? We have an election that's going to take place, but it's not going to take place in 2020. But yet people are sniping at one another. People are complaining. People are saying, this God doesn't do what he's supposed to do. This person doesn't do what they're supposed to do. It's a mixed up world. What is this world coming to? We have child abuse. We have young little children who are being abused by those adults. We have child pornography. And people that you would expect or wouldn't expect this thing to happen, but it's happening. We have domestic abuse. We have police officers being shot in the line of duty. We have senseless violence going on. What is this world coming to? Think about it. Think about even our own state. Soon it's going to be the Wild West again, because we have a concealed gun law. I always shudder about that. What is this world coming to? People are shot in their house of worship. And it doesn't make any difference what denomination, what faith, or whatever. But it's senseless murder. What is this world coming to? Jesus sat with his disciples in the upper room. And they must have felt, what's this world coming to? What are we doing here? We're sitting around the table. We're supposed to be celebrating the Passover. And here this Jesus is talking to us like, he's not even going to be around soon. He's talking to us about serving one another. He's talking to us about loving one another. He's talking to us about being that foot washer. He's showing us an example. What, isn't he going to be around? What's this world coming to? Think about it. Think about that time when Jesus was sitting there with his disciples. One was going to betray him. One was going to deny him. And the others, they were going to flee. They didn't want to have anything to do with this Jesus. What's this world coming to? People that we even are in contact with. Don't believe. Don't want to go to church. Karen and I attended a a memorial service yesterday for a longtime member of Bethany. She was 98. The Lord called her home. This child of God would always ask me when I would visit her as a shut-in, what's this world coming to? Yes, I've got a good family surrounding me, but you look at this world that's collapsing. That's what Jesus is saying. You're going to face tribulation. You're going to face persecution. A number of years ago, when I was in my first parish, there was a young lady who got married, and they became Wycliffe Bible translators. And they were over in Africa. But soon, they had to come home. And why? Because the tribes were warring against each other, and especially Christians. They were killing Christians, those who believed in Jesus Christ, and they had to flee that. It was one of those things, that was back 30 years ago. Now you look at our world today, people are killing each other. The guns are blazing. What's this world coming to? Jesus sits with us. Jesus sits with us and his word. And he tells us what this world is coming to. He tells us we're going to see persecution. We're going to see division. We're going to see problems that happen. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. We do take heart as those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that he has overcome everything. He has overcome our diseases, whether they be cancer or heart disease. He has overcome that. He has given us the victory. The Apostle Paul brings that through in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are conquerors. We are victors because of Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, take heart. Even though you're going to face all of these difficult challenges, and he says to you at Mount Moriah, the challenges that you're going to face in the coming year is immense. It might even get you down, a change of worship times, a change of Bible class times, and all of those kinds of changes. But Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. He is our Savior. He is the one who sits with us. He is the one that sits with us around our table. Do you pray, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed? Yes, we invite Jesus. We invite him to be the third partner of our marriage. We invite him to sit around our table. We invite him to hear our gripes and complaints. We invite him to hear the words of hopelessness. Jesus, being God, also echoes these words to us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. You know, that's what God has for Mount Moriah. You might not see it. You might not see the plans that he has for you. But he has immense plans for this church, for these people, you, because of Jesus. He will be there for you no matter what. He says, neither will I leave you nor forsake you. God is here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. He is the one that will drive this church. He is the one who will protect you. Take heart. In the world, you have tribulation. But I have overcome the world. This is what Jesus tells you every single day of your life. Those are the words that I had to have spoken to me when my father was dying of lung cancer. Because I knew in my head that he was going to die, and soon. Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. He tells you that as well. No matter what kind of tribulation, what kind of trial you go through. Also yesterday, the preacher, a good friend of ours, have this verse as the theme of the sermon because it was the confirmation verse of the lady who lived 98 years in God's grace. My grace is sufficient for you. That's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. In those verses 7 to 10, the Apostle Paul says, I have a thorn in my side, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Satan is there to try to divide us. But God, through Jesus, says, my grace is sufficient for you. That grace is sufficient for Mount Moriah. It is sufficient for each and every one of us. You know, as we look through our earthly glasses, our temporal glasses, we may see a glass that is half empty. We will see materialistic living. We will see people that are leaving Jesus' side. We will see the pain and the suffering of each individual. We will see all of those kinds of things, but we're not looking through those earthly glasses. We're not looking through those temporal glasses. We are looking through the faith glasses. The Apostle Paul also writes, we walk by faith, not by sight. This is what God gives to each one of us, to look through those faith-colored glasses and see each one as a child of God, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. As Christ says to us, take heart, I have overcome the world. In Jesus Christ's holy and gracious name, amen.